Welcome to the latest episode of Towelite Talk. This is Chris.
And this is Casey.
And we're at episode 273.
Wow.
That's nice.
That's a lot.
It is.
Feeling good.
We did a back to school night the other night, and not back to school, but incoming eighth grader night, right?
Yeah.
And so we had to give this fun fact about ourselves, something that would, you know, be something that nobody else does. So I was like, I do a pop culture podcast with my best friend since childhood, and we're almost at 300 episodes. And so that got out there. And then, like, I didn't share with the kids what the name of the podcast is, because, you know, sometimes, yeah, like, we try our best to be, you know, safe for work and whatnot. But my coworkers were interested. So I think we might have doubled our numbers, like, in a
okay
day.
All right. So you went from 2 to 4.
Right. So it's
just kidding. And honestly, thank you all who have been listening for the last 10 years, which is insane. Almost 300 episodes later.
Absolutely. So what it's all about is we're geeking out all the time on this show. So what have you been geeking out in life about? What are you getting down with?
Well, we're going to talk a lot about Turtles, but Turtles Magic the Gathering just came out, so we've been geeking out a lot about that. I didn't put it on this podcast, but I sent it to you, that demo for Replaced, that Steam game. I've just never seen the graphics used in that way. So, and the gameplay is really cool, and it reminds me of those old 90s computer games that we used to play, like the Indiana Jones game and stuff like that, where, you know, like a LucasArts game, I guess, mixed in like with some newer kind of gameplay. So it's unique. So I'm excited for that game to be fully released. There's just a demo out now, but yeah, it's cool.
Nice. Yeah, when you said that to me, it reminds me of this game I crowdsourced not too long ago. Like, maybe it's been a little while now, but with just how I've noticed how the backgrounds, you know, in these games have started to really evolve. And that's the thing, yeah, about bringing these kind of these games back is, like, they're games that are going to be around forever. Like, people love platforming. They love, like, the old school gameplay. But now with the graphic capabilities and all that stuff, it's like just the crazy stuff you can be doing in the background.
Yeah.
So you see that in these beat 'em up games. We'll talk about that He-Man game later, stuff like that. Even like just it's great because like you don't need to have this AAA game to have a great time. And for it to go great. So
that's it. Great. Yeah. Vampire Survivors being a key.
Yeah.
8-bit graphics. And you've made one of the most addicting games ever.
For sure. I'm just waiting for a lot of my TMNT Magic stuff. I got back playing Club again.
There you go.
Which is good. I got to play with the Commander deck yesterday, just one-on-one, which wasn't really a really great way to test it, but it's actually, it is a great way to test it, but not play it. So it was fun. I had like Leo and Raph as my dual commanders. It was just badass, and it was really cool.
That's what's up.
It's a fun functional deck as of now, and I've only played through it twice. So I'll play a Club this week and know better how it goes in a pod. So, yeah.
Awesome.
So there is one big news piece this week. It's Paramount increased its bid for WB, and then Netflix decided, you know, we're just going to drop out because, you know, the Legion of Doom is not going to allow them to make this purchase. The FCC is completely corrupt. So yeah, Paramount is absorbing WB and all its debts. They paid out Netflix like $2 billion for the deal. So, you know, Netflix comes on top of that one. And now news is that Paramount Plus will swallow HBO Max and we're going right to state TV. So it's all good. if you love pure corruption and monopolies. Yeah, it's good. Good times. It's good times these days.
Yeah, I don't know what this is going to do for the industry. I do know that they always need entertainment. And like, that's one huge thing for America, especially, is that it's an entertainment powerhouse with just everything, music, art, everything. And so it doesn't mean that, like, you know, people are like, is DC done? You know, James Gunn, his vision. Like, I don't think so, because it's making money. And Paramount, everyone just wants to make money at the end of the day, right?
No, that's it. And I, you know, I've read where it's like they've said they're going to keep things intact, set
yeah.
as of now. So that means, like, James Gunn is still yeah, there.
I think it's going to, you know.
You know, the biggest concerns is other things, right? One of my biggest concerns is, like, what are you gonna do with Star Trek? It's just gonna become, like, you know, not diverse, not, you know, not Star Trek. You know, these are the kind of things. It's like, what what are you going to do with this kind of thing? Like, you just let it run? Should there be this much control in Hollywood? There was a lot of, like, debate about why Netflix doesn't send things to theaters. They're going to promise we're going to send things to theaters more.
Right.
Paramount has a track record of great things.
One of the biggest studios of all time.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll see. I mean, money's down anyway. So, you know, it's kind of crazy, like, to see if this will all work out in favor of this conglomeration. So, whatever.
Yeah.
Moving on. Let's talk about Marvel. There's a couple things here from the Sony Spider-Verse. First off, we're going to be getting a Venom animated movie. And so this is kind of strange to me, right? And also very interesting. It's in works with the Final Destination filmmakers. Tom Hardy's involved somehow. So we always say,
I mean,
that we
I would
need
imagine
more.
You'd voice him, right? I mean,
I would imagine, right?
I think he's produced. In. Like, that guy is what? Into that character.
Yes, he is.
That's
that
his
character.
Baby.
He is that character. So that's exciting, and it's like, we love animation. It's easy to make animations. We'll see more. You know, we'll see that.
Well,
very
Sony
soon.
Animation is effing insane.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, sure, bring it. Sounds awesome. If the movies aren't doing it because of the freaking Venom horse, then do something crazy in animation and let's go. Let's see what happens.
I think the Venom horse is the better thing out of all those movies.
It was one of the best parts of the movie. Yeah.
And speaking of that, I heard with this reboot coming, they're only keeping the Venom horse. But no, that's not the news. The news is the Sony Spider-Verse is being rebooted. It was booty. And now it's being rebooted. So, this is big one, and I don't even know what it means, and I'm not even sure if it's even worth them doing. Please either, like, decide that you're going to just give Spider-Man fully over to the MCU or whatever. I don't know if they should keep wasting their time on this because it's proven not to work.
Yeah, I guess it's like, you don't put Spider-Man in your Spider-Verse, like, it ain't gonna work. That's it. That's what it comes down to. People don't understand why Kraven isn't hunting Spider-Man. Why isn't, you know, Madam Web talking to Spider-Man? Like, all the things. So, yeah, it was a dumb idea, and I guess it's good that they're finally waking up from that weird trauma they put us through.
And yet they're not, because they're rebooting it. So I just
Morbin time.
Who knows? It's always been Morbin time, except now it's Skeletor time. next up, Alex Ross will be doing a new Marvel graphic novel called New Dimensions. Marvel Dimensions. And, you know, I don't take anything from Alex Ross.
Let's buy it. Yeah. Don't need to see it.
No.
I mean, I did see the art, yeah, but yeah. Like, we don't need to, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like, it's him. It's he. I bought that Fantastic Four sight unseen, and it paid off pleasantly. Like, he just makes the most beautiful art. So,
yeah, the quote is as bonkers a ride for the reader as it could possibly be. So, okay,
okay,
that's it.
Bring it.
You've sold me, Alex Ross. Next up, Wolverine. We've been waiting for this game for a long time. We finally got that trailer a little while ago. We got an updated one, and now we know the game's coming out on 9/15 this year. So September rolls around, we'll be slicing and dicing.
Take the day off of work.
Week off of work.
This is like one of those kinds of event game. You know what I mean? Like, I feel it's going to be one of those, like I did for Spider-Man, where it's like, or for Uncharted. I remember taking off of work for Uncharted 3 and being like, this was well worth the day off. It was so cool.
For sure. Yeah, this game looks bloody and violent and Wolverine.
It looks like that
worthy.
X2 game.
Yeah.
That, or
Wolverine Origins.
Wolverine Origins game, which is so good.
Yeah. Speaking of X-Men games, we got an announcement this week called, now I'm playing it, the Marvel Maximum. It's going to be a collection of several games, including everybody's favorite, the X-Men arcade game. So let me just bring this up real quick, because what are the other games there? Do you have it? You have it up?
Yeah, so there's the Avengers and Captain America game, Maximum Carnage, like X-Men and Spider-Man. So like it's all of those cool 90s arcade, and I remember playing them for the Super Nintendo and, and Genesis at the time, those games. So yeah, it's just like those great beat 'em ups, and I'm glad that they're showing up again in one pack. So that will be a That'll be one of those Christmas buys for me. I love those games so much, especially that Avengers game.
Yeah, it's cool they're doing a lot of these big games like that coming together. Just so many packs of games. So it's nice to be able to have that without having to go and emulate them on my Steam. So,
that's it.
This May, Marvel Comics Spider-Man will be getting all of their variant covers of the MTG cards.
40?
Yeah.
Spider-Man cover? This is like, it didn't work when you did the cards. It's not going to work in the comic form. Like,
the most unpopular Magic set of all time.
Like, it's just like, I am Magic and I like Spider-Man. I don't want either one of these things.
There you go. From the fan. They better just cancel this right now.
This is so dumb. Like, what a waste of paper.
It is. It is. I can hear those trees screaming.
Right? Seriously. I hope they're, like, not genetically modified trees, but, like, hopefully they're just synthetic paper now, so, like, we're not killing trees for this stupid garbage. Sorry. All right.
Let's get soapboxed. It's good.
I know. Rant over.
Jumping over the pond to DC, another casting news for the Batman 2. Mark Hamill is joining the cast, and I've read that he's going to be Harvey Dent's father.
Great. I love it.
I do, right?
The Batman 2, man, this casting is insane. It's like everybody's, like, it's like the wizard fan casting. Like, it really is like they're getting all of, like, you know, it'd be really good if but he plays Bucky. Who cares? Bring him over. Right. You know, didn't Jason Momoa play Aquaman? We don't care. Bring him over. Like, they just don't care, and it's awesome now. So I'm really excited about it.
Yeah it's okay this movie's taking forever to come out.
Just like we say with video games, just take your time, just make the best thing.
Absolutely. Junkie XL will be doing the Supergirl soundtrack.
Great. I mean, like, listen, it is great. I like him a lot, so for sure. That's awesome.
For sure. The Absolute Universe is getting bigger and bigger and bigger and more popular, so why not? Let's bring in Green Arrow. Also, Catwoman's going to be getting her own series. We've met Catwoman Batman, episode of Batman pages. But this one sounds cool. It's going to be more by, this guy's name is Pornsack Pikachot. And I know I said that wrong, but that's an interesting name. And then also, everyone's favorite, Raphael Albuquerque. Except Casey, when he met him.
I know that one. I know.
I'm going to just throw that one in there. That's our inside joke for the day. So in May, this launches. Absolute Catwoman is going to be by Shea Grayson, Scott Snyder, and Bangle. Single word name, which is in June 10th. This Green Arrow sounds kind of crazy because it's going to be introducing Green Arrow and Black Canary. This person's killing billionaires and like Green or Black Canary is like an investigator and has to go solve this crime. So I'll be checking this out.
Yeah, I love some more Green Arrow, one of my favorite superheroes ever. So I love this idea.
And then last up, we got a new trailer for the new Lego Batman game, which
I'm a trailer.
It's not. It's a Prince music video with a rendition of the Batman 89 scene with Jack Nicholson and his goons. So it's funny.
It's cute. Yeah, I showed the family. We all laughed. It was fun.
Definitely an intro to one of the levels. So
for sure.
Yeah, this game is exciting to a certain extent. I think it's kind of like in a way, it's a step back because it seems to be much more concentrated in levels than maybe open world as much. But we'll see. We'll see. They're always fun.
So. Yeah, absolutely.
Next up in Star Wars news, we got the trailer for The Mandalorian Grogu hitting theaters this May. And Star Wars is finally back in theaters. I know I asked you if you watched this trailer. You said you have not watched any of the trailers.
I finally have. You did. We went and saw. I saw Send Help. I saw it twice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I showed it in this.
You saw it
though.
Twice?
Oh, I saw it by myself. And then she wanted to go. No, I haven't seen it. But the trailer was at that. And yeah, it was good. You know what, though? I do not have the same level of excitement right now. That I used to.
It's okay. Been,
I was like, it looks fun, but that's like it would look great like 5 years ago. Like I would have been like, this is the greatest thing ever.
You sound like Pedro Pascal in Wonder Woman 2.
I'm just saying,
but it could
like,
be great.
It could have been. The timing is not great, but it was a good chip. It was a good trailer.
The timing is. The timing is the time because where the hell has been Star Wars in our theater? Like, come on, this has been the most ridiculous.
I'm excited to see something.
Me too. But it's stupid. It's 12 years and it's like questionable of what they've done with the franchise. We've said this a million times. I had a lot of fun with this trailer. It really made me excited. I love Dave Filoni's world. I love his characters. It was great to see Zeb. You know, it's just, I have high hopes. I'm going to go to that theater and just be excited to see Star Wars on the big screen once again. Has there even been a movie in the 2020s in theaters for Star Wars?
No.
That's insane.
It's wild. It's wild.
It's insane. Next up. I don't know what happened here.
I changed the name. It's the imprint is Paper Cuts. It's an offshoot of Mad Cave is going to be putting out Star Wars comics. Cool. So,
yes, another company getting that license is a good thing.
diversify
it, get it out there to the kids. You know, whatever. Good times. Last up, if you need more Rogue One, you know, they're just. Keep farming that world. We're celebrating 10 years of Rogue One, so Marvel has come up with some new prequel adventures for y'all, featuring Cassian, Jin, Saw Gerrera, our two Guardians of the Wills, and even Darth Vader. All these one-shots will be dropping from various writers and artists, so look forward to that.
That's fine. Yeah. If it's a one shot, you know, you got Ben Percy, Ethan Sachs, Mark Bernardin. Okay. There's some good names on here. Like, listen, I don't think the world needs to be smaller, the galaxy rather, but if you're going to do it, like, it's fine to kind of flesh out these characters more in fun ways. You know, like, I always think of that annual we got of with the Emperor, and there was like that spy who was trying to kill him. It was like Darth Vader annual, I think. Do you remember that?
I do.
And it was just so good. And it was like, you know, it didn't add anything, you know, necessarily, but it was just kind of like a cool thing of like, you know, expanding the universe.
The EU.
The EU. The expand. What? You know what? You're right, Chris. Just reverse that. All right. I'm done. Speaking of expanded universe,
jumping across the stars to a galaxy near you, Star Trek. Star Trek did a little show called Picard, and at the end of Picard, they set up this possible continuation with the characters that had been in the show, including Captain Seven of Nine, captaining the Enterprise. So this is what IDW's decided to do for now, is to go ahead and tell some tales for that. We're in Star Trek 60th anniversary. So for that, you know, we're not gonna get a show. Let's get some stories based on what everybody's asking for.
I think we'll get a movie. Like I think we will. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Because they've been hitting, you know, I think they're gonna reboot it. And I think we'll see it this year, like the cast and, you know, maybe them in a costume. I don't know. But like I think we'll get some sort of announcement that way.
Well, it's also like Patrick Stewart's like, I'm not done with Star Trek, even though he was done with Star Trek. You know, it's
interesting.
Like, yeah, I think that's what he's really hinted at, is like it'll wrap up in one movie.
I wouldn't be surprised if they're the final generation. You know,
there's the working title. Name. That's it.
Yeah,
trademark that before Paramount steals it from you.
That's it, guys. Yeah. Well, they've got money to spend, right?
Do they?
Pay me for that.
I think they just no. Anyway, those billionaires. Yeah. Next up in crowd sorcery, I got a little soapbox on this one. I'm just Mythic Legions is doing an RPG.
Yeah.
This is a tabletop RPG based on their hit action figure line. And this is, you know, it's already made its money. It's at over $700,000. They wanted $90,000. A little while ago, there was a thing called Mythic Legion Tactics, a game that was supposed to be made, went into production, and
hit
some speed bumps along the way. And everybody's like, oh, all right. I even have the demo. And then they shut down the project completely. Gone.
I forgot about it.
Yeah.
Shut it down?
Oh, it's gone. Yeah, they scrapped it.
Completely. Interesting. It.
Like, you can play the shell. You can play that. But it's like, it was never finished. Which was disappointing.
Right.
So, here we go. Let's just go to pen and paper. And let you use your action figures as the, you know, as the whatever, as the miniatures.
Okay.
So
I gotcha.
That's just what this is. They've got, you know, as usual, they've got some fun stuff, action figures and all that stuff included in it to sell. And people are picking those up. Listen, I love Four Horsemen Studios. It's one of my favorite action figure companies of all time. It's easy to be kind of bitter about the, you know, these crowd sorcery things that don't go through, but that happens.
Yeah.
So check it out. We'll leave the link in the show notes.
Wow. I forgot about it. Cause yeah, you're right. Cause that does look really cool. The RPG set, but you're also right. So, okay.
Yeah. I also, on a separate thing was like, for these RPGs, it's like, there's so many of them.
There is tabletops. So many of them.
I got a Humble bundle the other day of the Fallout ones.
Yeah.
Every, like, thousand-something dollars worth of material where it's all the source books. 3D printer, like, you know, whatever, files and stuff to print.
Yeah.
The Wasteland. And we'll be talking about what they're doing with that game shortly. But, yeah, I was just like, $25? I'm going to buy it all. Like,
right.
The game was
sounding interesting. I've done those.
No, I'll never play it, but it's okay.
it's like all the Pathfinder I own.
That's right. That's right. Casey, what time is it?
I think it's the time for Pursuit of Plastic.
Oh, man. I missed that theme music. In my head, say this. First up, we talked about how Playmates is not doing TMNT anymore. Well, guess what? The other mega conglomerate, Mattel, has picked up the license, which is interesting to me. Whatever, this is the same. It's the same thing. Like, we'll see. They've announced a multi-year global licensing partnership for them.
Right.
which means everything.
Yeah, I've never been a big Mattel fan. Mm-hmm. There's been very few times where, you know, Maddie Collector and stuff like that, where they really, it's Four Horsemen sculpting. Mm-hmm. So what does this look like? I really don't have any high hopes. And if it's not, you know, do they take over the Playmates mold? Why do they need to? Since we just got a bunch of reprints of everything. Like, I don't know what they're going to do with this. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's interesting on the way out that Playmates has done some really cool stuff, like those Godzilla ones and the G.I. Joe crossover. There's a
all
lot of
this stuff.
So I don't want to badmouth it too much last show, but I will do this. Those Masters of the Universe figures for the movie look like shit. So never gives me high hopes for what's going on here. So anyways, more Ninja Turtle Legos on the way. If you love those brick heads, the Brothers Four.
Yeah, those are cute.
And then what really interests me is the Stan Sakai Ninja Turtles. They'll be doing versions of the Brothers Four in that art style, and they'll be released individually coming this spring, I believe. And then they also just previewed a Ultimate Usagi Ujimbo figure as well for that set.
Okay. They won't sell it all in 4-pack, or probably they will for like San Diego Comic-Con.
Maybe, right?
Some exclusive version. Because come on, man.
The opportunity's there, right? I mean, what, action figures up to like $40 a piece at this point. So it's really got to be like worth it. So we'll see. Yeah. We'll see. All right. So Hasbro, another one of those big companies that we either love or hate, has picked up three major things this past month, including Street Fighter, Voltron, and the Harry Potter rights. So
okay,
that's big stuff.
Yeah. What's interesting is Harry Potter is also Warner Brothers. Yeah, that will be. We'll see how that goes as well. Street Fighter is cool because they got that movie coming out. Same thing with Voltron. That movie's coming out soon, so I think that makes sense. But Voltron should be very interesting because how they're going to handle, I would assume, like a Hasbro Pulse to, you know, do the giant, maybe the old figure and a new one. So,
yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, you could do it at different scales too, right? Of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I would love to see what they can do if it's like a HasLab. Giant Voltron.
Yeah, HasLab. Yeah, that's what I mean. You're right.
I've passed many times on different Voltron robots, like the Lego one I wish I would have gotten, and things like that. So we'll see. I've always wanted one, except for the one I got at, I think, New York Comic Con that year, that's like 5 inches tall. So, and not transformed.
Right.
Cool stuff. Mezco is back. This is what I'm going to say. How long does it take for you to make X-Men characters? Because I waited so long after having the initial ones, and now they just put out Nightcrawler like 10 years later, basically. Looks good. But well,
Nightcrawler is one of my favorite figures of all time. Or but characters.
But you're not dropping these like on a regular basis or schedule where people are going to be interested enough to build their sets. McFarlane, his X-Men statues that build the cover of Jim Lee's X-Men #1. Those are dropping like all the time, and so it's easy and exciting to get. But Mezco has been, I mean, there's a reason why I stopped collecting them. So I'll put it that way.
Yeah, listen, all the things you're going to say, they look great. They just, you know.
Sometimes. Like this next one. This one, like, they have the Ninja Turtles license, and they're making Ninja Turtle movie figure 4-pack. And these look cool, because they're like the Jim Henson look. And
yeah, they are.
Yeah, so that's the other side of it. You know, we've gotten all of this stuff from NECA and other companies, and I thought when they did that original 4-pack for Mezco, it was cool because of like it's always about the material that Mezco uses.
Those look great, though. I still
and these look great.
Yeah,
and
these do. Stuff like
that. Yeah. Yeah. There's plenty of other stuff from Toy Fair, so I'm going to leave the link in there for that so you guys can go check that out. There's a brand new Punisher figure coming this year because it's the year of the skull, as I'm dubbing it, with with some really good Punisher comics dropping.
Yeah,
he's in brand new day. This is just he's back. Yeah. He's got his one shot coming out this year for Marvel Studios. Like, it's a great time to be a Frank Castle fan. So I'm really excited to see what they do with this figure because Fezco has done some really good Punisher figures in
the past. Absolutely.
This next one's kind of fun. If you had read the Marvel Avengers versus Alien series, I think it was a Jonathan Hickman written title, which is interesting. They're doing a Spider-Man hot toy. It was the Miles Morales got the Venom symbiote, and they like. I'm sorry, no. It was he. The, what was it? Like somehow, like a symbiote and an alien had merged, and
yeah.
So he became like a hybrid of the two, and he put the suit on. So it's a really cool look.
It's got the alien mixed in with the spider and the symbiote on the back. Yeah, it's really cool looking for sure.
So I thought that was, I'm not going to spend money on it, but that thing was a neat thing. And sometimes when you do these crossovers, they're kind of just dumb, but that was a really cool thing that came out of that. That was pretty smart.
And it's relevant, like it's new, you know, it's pretty cool.
Exactly.
Yeah.
These characters aren't new, but they have some new version hot toys coming out. So Battle of Damaged, Batman and Superman from The Dark Knight Returns. Both look amazing.
Are you kidding me?
That's all I'm going to say. They look amazing.
Oh, my gosh. I don't even want to talk about this.
Yeah.
Just move on.
Yep. Move on. Right? I'm just like, this is why I don't collect hot toys anymore.
They look so good. The sculpting looks so good. Yeah. Wow. They really, you know what though? There's so many companies now.
Mm-hmm.
They have to, right? Like they have to just keep, even Hot Toys is better than Sideshow Collectibles and all that. Like, so, and then there's other companies like Real Action Figures, I think. Like there's all these different, I don't know.
At that scale? You say it or just in general?
Just in general. Mm-hmm. Like definitely at the 1/12 scale there is, but even at 1/6 there's other companies that are doing crazy figures.
Blitzway, Mondo.
Yeah.
Like
We've been
talking toys for over 10 years, right? And just
yes.
It's crazy where the industry has gone. How many new companies there are that are like actually like viable, like real, putting out real things
that can fight against the hot toys. Cause there was a time where you couldn't. And so, anyways, it's fantastic. It looks awesome.
Exactly. So what is this next thing? Lego made a Project Hail Mary Lego Ideas set. And it's up for pre-order. I think this is the official link. So we'll leave it in there for it.
Yeah.
Very cool. You said you read the book. The movie's getting rave reviews. So, excited to
you will see that movie. You and your wife, like, it is so up your alley.
Cool.
It's extremely nerdy if they keep it, which I've heard they have. Like, they just kind of kept the book pretty the way it is. So, but yeah, lots of talk about math and science and how this thing, kind of like Star Trek, where it's like, Star Trek's a little bit more like you just kind of assume that whatever they're talking about is correct. This one is like, assume that you know some math and science, and I'm going to explain how I could possibly do this, you know, in a dumbed down version. So it was really smart. Really good.
Awesome. Another little news out of Toy Fair. McFarlane picked up a couple licenses. He absorbed QMX, which if you remember those cool little miniatures, those are really cool. I love those. I have a few of them. So McFarlane will be doing those moving forward. And we saw some previews of them. And also we picked up the PlayStation Studios license as well. So we'll be doing God of War figures and Helldivers stuff.
Nice. Yeah, that's be interesting. You know, the God of War from NECA is fantastic.
Yeah.
So see what McFarlane does with that, especially now with the show coming out, which we'll talk about. So
yes. Curious. Yes. And then last up in toy news, Trick or Treat Studios, which has been doing some interesting stuff, is putting out Army of Darkness 5-inch scale action figures. I believe you can order a big pack of them, set of six, and also they sell some individually. But yeah, if you're an Army of Darkness fan, there you go. There's some stuff for you to collect.
That's another company. Like they've done some 1/6 stuff with Halloween and Terrifier that have been pretty cool. So yeah, Trick or Treat Studios should stick to different. I don't know. Those are fine. If you're into that, they're fine.
They're the ones. Are they doing that? The Polly Pocket ones as well, like that we talked about on the show.
Same they
one.
Are. Yeah, and they've done Toxic Avengers and or Commandos or whatever. Like they've been doing some different things.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. It's nice to see that. So, what's also nice to see is our commercials are on the way. So let's take a break. And we'll be right back with more Tellic.
DFAT Comics is the publishing branch of DontForgetATowel.com, the only place to travel geekly. Focusing on creator-owned and independent titles like Hollowed, Pursuit of Plastic, and Fairy, and many more. DFAT Comics will be a mix of genres appealing to every kind of reader. Join the new source of comic book entertainment with DFAT Comics.
There the bugger is. She's a big one, ain't she? Oi! Over 20 points of articulation, great sculpting, and look at the paint job on her! We've been looking all over for this one. Let's get them in our sights and end this hunt now!
Alright.
Steady. Steady now.
Got him!
It's the Pursuit of Plastic.
Listen to the podcast from the creators of DontForgetATowel.com, geek out about toy news, hunting, and histories on your favorite collectibles.
From the far reaches of the galaxy to an internet location near you, we're DontForgetATowel.com. Your daily source for geeky pop culture news, reviews, interviews, and so much more. So as you're hitchhiking your way through the universe, don't forget to travel safe, and don't forget a towel.
We are back from those luscious, luscious, delicious commercials, and we're going to be getting into comic book news.
Ooh, yeah.
Godzilla. It's hot right now. It's atomically hot. Godzilla is everywhere, and he has another comic book series coming, which is really exciting, actually, called The Horror of Godzilla.
Yes.
Ethan S. Parker, Griffin Sheridan, and Tristan Jones. The series takes Godzilla back to his roots. 1954 Japan will depict the legendary kaiju in all his terrible glory. No hero Godzilla in this one, Casey.
That's what I'm excited to see. I want to see him be truly evil and see what that's like, because it's scary. He is the king of the monsters. So I'm excited to see what this turns out to be like.
The force of nature, like this following piece of news. The Last Ronin is back in comic book form for a prequel, and they're saying a threequel. So it's getting another sequel series. And also, we're getting a prequel called Training Day. It's great. Kevin Eastman's back writing it. And we'll be seeing more. It looks like the prequel is coming up this year. Training Day will bridge a gap between Last Ronin issues 3 and 4, exploring Michelangelo and Casey Marie training. And then it will be, yeah. And then also with this, you know, the sequels. So not much news there. But yeah, exciting. Child of April O'Neil, Casey Jones is a major character, and then with the four new Ninja Turtles. So good stuff. Where's that video game, and why are we not getting a live action movie? That's all I'm going to say, Paramount.
I think it's going to come. I really do. But, you know, until then, bring me more comics. I'm fine if they keep expanding that verse.
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure. Especially Kevin Eastman's writing it. So
that's it.
Whatever. This year we get Masters of the Universe, the movie. And so, you know, there'll be plenty of books and comics and other tie-in things. And so they've announced a manga-style Masters of the Universe graphic novel. It's coming from Tokyo Pop. It's aimed at younger generations, and, you know, that's great, because they need to get the kids excited about Masters of the Universe if this is going to work.
This is insane. Yeah, they're rolling out coloring books and golden books and level 3 reader. That's where my daughter's at. Time to read about the Masters of the Universe. She already has a great She-Ra book, so, yeah, this is cool.
Ramman goes to town, or like
that's it.
You know, bakes a cake.
Oh man, love it.
It's good stuff. Last little bit of comic book news is a big one here. Energon Universe is expanding. We have gotten the introduction of Matt Tracker in the universe in a one shot. I think it was last year. Of the free comic book days, which is very exciting because we knew this was going to be happening, and it is finally. And so Mask is joining the Energon universe in a new series from Dan Waters and Pi Par. Hell yes. That's all I'm going to say. Because we have the animated Energon universe coming, which means Mask is going to be a part of that probably. It's all coming together, Casey.
Yeah, this is, and you know what? So they show a variant cover, which is done by J. Scott Campbell, and it looks just like a Danger Girl cover. It's freaking fantastic. I want it so bad. Yeah, this is great. You know, they couldn't do it cinematically at first, but I feel like with this, with the TV show coming, the cartoon, like we are getting closer and closer every moment. And so this is... very, very exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's jump into TV and streaming news. Stranger Things, the main series, just wrapped with season 5. And now we're getting a couple new things to expand the world, including Tales from 85, which is an animated... What is this? Is it a movie? What are we talking about?
It's going to be like a little TV show that... you know, some of the things like that just kind of fill in the time gaps between seasons. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I guess like we make jokes about how Star Wars keeps making things smaller. This is another kind of what happened in between the times in animated.
Yeah. And it's, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Stranger Things is hot. And, you know, I mean, they're going to be expanding the world, apparently, you know, from what we've heard. But also, we're getting a prequel in play form, which will tell the story of Vecna.
Yeah, so the first shadow is on Broadway now. And basically, they're doing kind of like what they did with Hamilton, which is for the Eras tour. They shot it, and now they're going to broadcast that to Netflix. So if you don't get to go see it live, you'll get to see it in your house.
I love that they do that.
I do like that too. I
really wish they would have done that with that high school alien play those kids put on. There's a whole world should have saw that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's funny. Maybe.
Next up, Fallout Season 3 is confirmed. At the Fallout Season 2 was a great time. And I'm really excited to move on to more storytelling and new locations. So it'd take a little while for this to get confirmed, but it'll start shooting soon, and we'll be getting that, you know, we'll be returning to the wasteland sooner than later.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep up that momentum. You know, if it's the end of next year, cool. Great. Just keep going. I hope you're already shooting right now.
Yeah. These shows need to be coming out every year. Can't wait. Now this is a big one. Baldur's Gate is going to be getting a TV series, which will continue the game story. It'll be an HBO from The Last of Us co-creator Craig Mazin, and also with collaboration with Hasbro.
Yeah, I Okay, so the only thing with this is, like, I don't know if Larian is having anything to do with this. Or if it's just, like, they're just going off on their own. You know what I mean? Is it an adaptation of the game? Or how is it? So, listen, I trust the showrunner quite a bit. But it says both existing characters and new ones. And so,
telling a story that takes place immediately after the events of Baldur's Gate 3, as the characters old and new are dealing with ramifications of the events from that game. Interesting.
Okay, well then, you know what? In that case, awesome. And actually, I think it's better that it's someone not from Larian, and it could just be some random people jumping in there, because then let's go. And keep Historian, please.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. It would be he could get his own show, for God's sakes. So it's good. It's
just saying.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, all right. So we have a couple of things here. We got to condense our show notes here. But here's the big thing. We got our first look at God of War, the TV show.
Yeah.
We got a look at Atreus and Kratos training or whatever they're doing. And it's already in full production. So these announcements of the actors, which is, you know, a good thing. We've gotten Callum Vinson as Atreus. Excuse me. And then also we got our villain, Baldur, who is, you know, we've seen before. Deadpool villain, Ed Skrein.
Yeah. Yeah, Ed Skrein, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, looks like they're really going into the game, you know, adapting the game and the story from the game. So, which is cool. It's a great story. I'm hoping, like, I don't, like, that was the problem with The Last of Us for me. It's like, I kind of knew what was happening. So I'm just like, it's good for the general, it's good for the general public, right?
I listen, they changed it in, you know, certain episode. Like, listen, certain episodes are just spectacular. And so, it's enough for me to still be invested, but I also understand what you're saying, because it is so true to the game that it's like, if you play the game a couple times, you know, it's nice to also, I guess, get a little bit of changes. That's what I'm saying. It's kind of nice to see if that other guy comes in and just goes off on this adventure with these people.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah.
Yeah. There's plenty of like little side tail spinoffs, you know, fun stuff like that. So we'll see. And it's just, it's a great story, great characters and stuff like that. So very excited to see God of War on the small screen. Next up, Ninja Turtles. We're talking about how we would love some Ninja Turtle stuff, but you know who else needs Ninja Turtle stuff? Kids need Ninja Turtle stuff. So without selling the stuff to kids, without selling the toys, like, this is how franchises die. And this is why Ninja Turtles has been alive for since 1987.
Yeah.
So we're almost at 40 years of Ninja Turtles, which is amazing. So Paramount wants to, as they say, expand their Ninja Turtle reach. So we're going to be getting some crazy stuff, including maybe a restaurant. Can you imagine, like, a Ninja Turtle pizza shop, like a Chuck E. Cheese-esque kind of place? I'd go there.
Sure, sure. Yeah, you know, I listen, more turtles is fine with me. It's a, like, we just talked about magic at the top of this. Like, it's a good time to be a Turtles fan. And, you know, it's kind of crazy to say, like, we've been Turtles fans our entire life. Like, so it's pretty cool from the day one. And here we are. So that's
buying magic cards, right,
exactly.
So we'll be getting Teeny Mutant Ninja Turtles, which is a 30 episode short series. It'll be designed for YouTube. This is that preschool level Ninja Turtle thing that'll get kids into it. So it'll be interesting to see that, and how turtles take over the globe once again with their rock star or the rock band. Can't wait for that.
That's right.
Go into that. Coming out of their shells, as they called it. Next up, Winona Ryder is joining Tim Burton once again. She'll be joining Wednesday season 3.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
I love Winona Ryder. Clearly has a good relationship with Netflix and Tim Burton and Jenna Ortega. And you know what? Why don't you just make it another Beetlejuice crossover? I'm fine with that too.
Yep. Exactly. Game of Thrones, Night of the Seven Kingdoms is extremely popular. I still need to watch it. It's been greenlit for season two.
You know, I watched the first episode and didn't get into it. I guess see about episode two, but I was just not immediately grabbed. So I was like, eh, I don't. Okay.
I guess then one of those episodes does it, because I've heard such great things of this show.
I've heard such great things too. So
hopefully those aren't the high expectations that rain on our parade. But we'll see. Is it a Knight's Tale? Set in Westeros, I don't know. Should be. Last up, this is exciting if you're an Exiles fan, a Ryan Coogler fan. This has been in the works, and now it's finally getting greenlit for a pilot. So Ryan Coogler's X-Files reboot will be heading to Hulu with Danielle Deadweiler, and then also starring Jennifer Yale as the I'm sorry. Danielle Deadweiler starring in it, and then Jennifer Yale joins as the showrunner.
Bring it on. Hopefully the pilot goes well and that gets greenlit for a season, but for right now, cautiously optimistic.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Jumping over to movie news, Paramount and Dan Trachtenberg have made a first look deal. Now, this is a little bit of old news, but worthy of talking about, because we had worried about what that meant for the Predator franchise that he's been doing so well over at Disney Hulu in 20th Century, and it's not going to affect it. So we'll see, because you know, with this whole new HBO merger, what does that mean with it? But he will develop, direct, and produce feature projects. And we'll wait to see what magic comes of that.
I think Dan Trachtenberg is in the best place that a person can be in, because he pretty much has autonomy to do whatever he wants at Disney when it comes to Predator, because everything he's done has been a hit. And then he also has anything he wants to do over at Paramount, because he's made them tons of money with Cloverfield Lane and Bumblebee. And now you're poised to do this another, you know, probably Transformers, Energon Universe movie franchise. So hell yeah, Dan Trachtenberg is on all cylinders. He just needs a Netflix deal, and then like pretty much everybody's after him.
Right. Crazy. Great. Yeah,
great for him.
Next up, Isabella Merced will be the lead in upcoming adaptation of Sega's video game, The House of the Dead. Everybody's favorite Paul W.S. Anderson is running this boat. Hey, man, I'm ready for this. Whatever. I'll watch it. I love that game. I love that series.
I do, too. You know, if I'm in the arcade, I'll play House of the Dead. You know, I'm fine with it. I played it for the Sega Saturn. I'm. It's whatever. It's just Paul W.S. Anderson video game. It's going to go one way or another. It's going to be amazing or it's going to be horrible. It's got to be better than the UA Bowl version that came out in 2003 and was absolutely garbage. So that's all that matters, really. That's your bar.
That's right. These are the expectations that have been set. Speaking of high expectations, when I was watching the Super Bowl, you know, when I would actually like perk up because the commercials were on. Because it was the most entertaining part of that 3-hour adventure I went on. The Adventures of Cliff Booth. The trailer dropped unexpectedly, and I got very excited with Brad Pitt returning and this David Fincher directed movie written by Quentin Tarantino, the sequel to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, one of Tarantino's best movies. This looks wild and fun.
So strange that this is a thing that's existing, but I'm there. Yeah. If this is like how Quentin Tarantino, who is, you know, you can debate all you want, but like if he's still writing things and people are directing his things, but he isn't directing, that's okay too.
From Dusk Till Dawn, it's one of the greatest things ever. That's all you gotta say. Like in this, like David Fincher is like,
this looks great. Yeah,
one of the greatest directors perfect. Of all time.
Yeah,
this exactly. is headed to Netflix, so I'm excited to watch that from Same. The comfort of my couch. Mike Flanagan, who loves to totally adapt everything that Stephen King has ever done, will be doing his version of The Mist, which he promises won't be a retread of the 2007 film. Which, you know what, I remember watching that Frank Darabont movie, and when I got to the end of that movie, I was like, I hate my life. Because I had never read The Mist. I didn't know what was going to happen. And it's one of the most messed up movies I've watched in a long, long time. So it'll be interesting what Mike Flanagan does with it, since he's a proven horror director and Stephen King aficionado.
Yeah, that's it. In Flanagan, we trust. Listen, he hasn't failed me.
No, I know.
And that's all that matters. So whatever. If he says it's going to be different, I believe it.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, other things can happen in that world as this is taking over.
Do whatever you want, so. Bro.
Coming back from our zeitgeist of the, late 90s, and Brendan Fraser's epic series, The Mummy, both him and Rachel Weisz are returning for a Mummy sequel.
Yeah.
And I'm excited. You know, I love that. I love that first movie so much. Those two are great together, and it'll be really interesting to see where it's at this point.
I'm excited about that for sure. I'm also excited that the directors are the guys who directed Ready or Not, two, which is. Looks crazy. Have you seen the trailer? Did you see the first one? I can't remember.
I think so. What is the first one? Ready or Not?
It's like this girl who's a bride. It's is it Samara Weaving? I think is getting hunted down by this rich family, and then now it's like Samara Weaving with like the girl from Victoria Frankenstein or whatever that movie was. Like, she's also a final girl, new girl in all these horror movies. And so it just looks crazy. Like, you would, it's like Ready or Not a little bit,
okay,
but a little bit more campier and bloodier. Like, you'll it's totally up your alley.
Link
not Aaron's, but your
alley. Yes. The single viewership in my household. Yeah. Four movies. Something I will go see with my wife, and she'll love, is Mortal Kombat 2, which we should have already seen by now, but I don't care, because I'm ready to see this now again. This trailer was awesome. Actually, no, you know what? This trailer was not. It was great to see it. At the same time, it was kind of lackluster, because I'm just like, I'm still waiting.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's like, that's fine. You can show me stuff. I don't care. Like, just get to it at this point.
Exactly. So, yeah. And it's on the big screen this time, and I'll be seeing it. So, here's a little news on our G.I. Joe front, which is interesting, because we were just talking about this and how these universes are going to go. Strangely, there's two ideas for G.I. Joe movies out there right now. One, Max Landis was just recently announced to be writing a treatment for it. And then also we have Danny McBride, who has written a G.I. Joe script. So both of these things are apparently and confirmed to be in early development.
I really don't understand how Max Landis is able to do anything.
Oh, I do, because Paramount owns the company. And I guarantee that Brett Ratner will get a movie, but I'm sure nobody will star in it, and they'll make AI versions of Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker. So,
well, he directed that Melania documentary.
Oh, right. But you know, that was the greatest movie of the year.
Listen,
garbage people.
Not going down that road too far, other than to say, I don't support Max Landis. No. I do support Danny McBride.
Yes.
I do want to see more G.I. Joe and hopefully a shared universe that's Energon, but like, I guess that's it.
Yeah, I don't understand. And that's exactly my point of like, how do these people come out of shame? and be allowed to do this stuff. I don't know. It's messed up.
Ugh. All right.
But I'll go see the Danny McBride one.
Yeah, for sure.
And hopefully the Max Landis one is not Energon related at all, because I'll be really pissed. So, anyways, that's the end of the movie news. Let's talk some news. Let's talk some fun stuff. I mentioned earlier in the show about the Fallout RPG, the TTRPG. Well, it's also now getting a solo source book, so you can play within that world. It's called The Wasteland Wanderer. It's based on the same same mechanics and everything like that, but you can play by yourself, which has become more and more of a thing with board games. And, you know, it's interesting to see this because, yes, that's the same thing with video games, right? You're sitting there, you can play with yourself, like, which sounds kind of funny, but now you can sit at the table and play with yourself. It's completely inappropriate.
Yeah, just keep it going. Yeah, this, you know... There was a time where I thought about it and I was really excited about the idea, but like after playing Magic, when, you know, it's not the same against a bot or even on Arena, you know, where you're playing against a human, but it's not, you know, you really do need to be around people for certain things. And I think role playing games do better that way. Like you can play Baldur's Gate, like that's fine. Do it by yourself, do it with your friends, whatever. Yeah. But in this case, like, rolling and all that, I don't know, it doesn't feel the same as having a DM doing it.
I agree. So. I've bought a couple of these board games that are like single player up the same board, and I just haven't even played them yet.
Yeah, I tried and I remember just being like, yeah, this just doesn't feel right, I guess. Anyways,
it's a very lonely world. So speaking of playing with friends. Final Fantasy is also getting a tabletop RPG along with collectible dice sets. This is kicking off a multi-game deal with Kesco Company. Final Fantasy the board game. It will capture the spirit of Final Fantasy 1-3, designed for 1-4 players. And it really wants to just... It's inspired by the Pixel remaster. And I'm pretty excited about this. I just want to see what it's going to be like.
Yeah, this is kind of neat. I like that because you could build a party, and this to me seems a little bit cooler. I like to see what it looks like on the inside. But yeah, that's interesting. We'll keep you guys posted more because it's kind of a cool idea. I wish we would have seen this at Toy Fair.
Apparently, in person, yes. I'm gonna have to like scour the internet to see who, if anybody has videos of this, because it was at Toy Fair.
This is neat.
Yeah, it comes out 3rd quarter, so look forward to that. God of War, this is the thing. All right, they announced a remake of the Greek trilogy, which is really exciting. And I didn't realize this at first when they did the state of play, and I was like, oh, okay, they're remastering the games or whatever. No, they're straight up remaking the trilogy. The original Kratos voice actor talked a little bit about it, and that was really it. We didn't see anything. But I don't care because we know what the Norse duology or whatever those games look like, how they play. And I'm really excited to see what this is going to be like to bring back the original storyline.
And who knows what they're going to do? Like, are they going to change the camera angle? You know, like, they can do... are they going to make it like that?
That's what I imagine.
They could. And both Kratoses were there, which is also very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my expectation. Yeah. So, especially when you say remake. Remake. So...
Yeah.
We'll see. And then also they put out a game called God of War Sons of Sparta, which is not getting great reviews.
No, people hate it.
Which is kind of sad because they just kind of dropped that one out of nowhere. This was made by Mega Cat Studios. It's like a 2D platformer.
Right.
And it's set during Kratos' youth, during the Greek times. So it's too bad.
Yeah. Yeah, shame.
What's not a shame is that we're getting a Castlevania game this year, and I so excited. Konami, the people that made Dead Cells, which did a Castlevania
crossover,
right?
Yeah,
this looks awesome. It's set. It's called Castlevania Belmont's Curse. It's side scrolling. We're talking about these side scrolling platformers where the backgrounds are just doing crazy things. This is it.
Yeah.
Again, on a higher level, even, you know, than smaller companies. And I'm in. This is set 23 years following Castlevania 3, Dracula's Curse. It's 40th anniversary of Castlevania this year, so yes. Who knows what else we're getting.
Maybe another TV show. I don't know. Maybe a movie. I don't know. Maybe a TV show.
A movie would be.
Like live action. We're in the world now. Come on, man. We're in a crazy world right now.
We are.
Yeah, this game looks freaking epic, and I want it so bad.
Next up, they announced, Konami also announced Metal Gear Solid Master Collection Volume 2. So we're looking at the next line of games that, you know, came after Volume 1, all the original.
Yeah,
games.
Listen, it's fine. You're a Metal Gear fan, you're getting the games all together, and, you know, it's got value. I get it.
Exactly. And it's like, these are the games from the ones from the upper series ones after they got even more intricate and stuff like that. So
right.
Really excited for that because I love the world of Metal Gear. So I sent this to you the other day. This had dropped. It's gonna start playing. We've been talking about this for a while, right? So we got John Carpenter's Toxic Commando, which is looks like an insane first person shooter co-op. Hell of a time. Insane stuff. They just put out an anime video with Gunship doing the music. If you watch Gunship videos, it's very along those lines, and
yeah,
takes those characters and throws them into the insanity of the game. So the more I see this game, it's just awesome. And you know, like, John Carpenter's have been doing stuff with Gunship for a little while now, a cool partnership there. I'm pretty pumped. I'll be checking this game out.
Yeah. I mean, this game really does look kind of like House of the Dead and World War Z. And like, it's just so many Days Lost or whatever that one was around the motorcycle, you know?
Oh, Days Gone.
Days Gone. Yeah. Where hordes are coming at you. Like, it just looks like a good mix of so many different games or skill trees. Like, I don't know. It looks like. Sometimes you see those kind of collaborations. Like, I remember George Romero would be involved with like a zombie game, and it's like, what did you do? You know what I mean? Like, this looks like they actually spent time and didn't just slap John Carpenter's name on it. It looks actually really good.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like it's got his blessing as well.
Yes. Yes.
What has my blessing is this last bit of news, and it's He-Man and the Master Universe Dragon Pearl of Destruction. It is the year of He-Man, so why not put out a He-Man video game? This is going back to those classic beat-em-ups that have been so popular as late. We knew this was coming. We've talked about this on the show before, but we got the final trailer, which looks insanely awesome, and also a release date of April 28th this year. That's when you will have the power.
Yeah, this just, you know, like you said, amping it up, taking what we've already known from a beat 'em up, and now with like the way that we can do computer graphics and level design, and just everything's processed way faster, that they can just make those games, but even crazier.
Absolutely. Anyway, Skizzy, where can you find us?
You can find us all over the interwebs. You can find us at The Only Place to Travel Geekly, DontForgetATowel.com, as well as DFATEntertainment.com and DFATENT on the socials. And this is Casey saying, go read your comics.
And this is Chris saying, don't forget a towel.